Amen. So, first, I'm just going to share a few things, and then we're going to let you go. But David, I just want to share how important this is. It happened in the Old Testament. It happens in the New. And Lord knows it's all that happens in heaven. But King David, after he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the sanctuary, the scripture says he appointed the Levites and their brethren to be singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, cymbals, by the raising of the voice with resounding joy. You know, one of the reasons why David is so different from every other king in Israel is David was the one who brought in instruments. David was a worshiper of God. David loved God. And he brought in, not only did he bring in instruments, but he set the Levites in order. And before the Lord, they were worshiping the Lord around the clock. It was something beautiful. And David, you know, he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he wrote Psalm 18, which is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. He wrote the whole psalm and delivered it to the brethren to sing before the Lord. But what happened regularly and is happening here today, and it happens in a great many places, was that David appointed those with cymbals, lyres, harps, drums. He appointed them to minister to the Lord on their instruments. And oftentimes as they ministered to the Lord, they would begin to prophesy on their instrument. And while they were playing today, the prophetic anointing came upon them, which then came upon me. And when that happens, I start to hear the Lord. I start to hear, you say it's a prophetic word. No, it's not necessarily a prophetic word, but it can be a prophetic flow. It can be a prophetic musical river. Music is like a river. It's that which in heaven, it never stops. It is always going. It is always flowing. And it just goes. And there are times, and this, by the way, is what any worship leader wants. Any worship leader, wherever you go on the planet, though he may not or she may not know it, what they want to do, what they should want to do, is as they start worship, they want to leave here and go there. They want to tap into, they want to hear the rhythm of heaven. They want to hear the river of that flowing river that's rushing, that everywhere it goes, it brings life. Because anything man producing is not bringing life. And we want to be in the river of God. You see what I'm saying? And so God would allow his prophetic spirit to come upon the musicians of the Old Testament. They begin to prophesy. And some of us wonder where the book of Psalms comes from. And so they begin to prophesy on the drum, prophesy on the cymbals, prophesy on the lyres and the harps. And that's been going on here today. That's God's just taken us in a whole nother direction, more than what we would have ever dreamed of. And so I want to share a couple scriptures, because you know that every pastor always has something to say. Why? Well, if you're reading your Bible, God is always saying something. In the words of Holy Scripture. And I told my wife, as we were lying in bed this morning, and I whispered in her ear, what did I say, honey? I said, no, it's G-rated. It's Scripture-rated. Come on now. Come on. It's Scripture-rated. Let me say it so I can get your mind straight. Here we go. Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. No, come on, man, come on. No, Oh, okay. Hold on. Wait a second. So I'm reading the book of 1 Kings, and I'm reading where God, David has passed away, made Solomon king. God appears to Solomon, and this is what he says. Solomon, ask me anything. What if God came to you today and said, ask me for anything, what would you ask? He says to Solomon, ask me anything, Solomon. And you know what he said. You've made me the head over this great people of yours. I don't know how to go out and I don't know how to come in before them. Who can judge so great a people as your people? He says, therefore, give your servant wisdom and good judgment to help me to be able to discern between good and evil. He said, help me to know how to conduct myself right. And the very next story after that was when the two women had the baby in the same house. And one rolled over and smothered her baby in the night. And it died. And she got up in the middle of the night and took the other woman's child. Took her leaving child and put it beside her. And took her own dead child and put it beside this woman. And so when they asked Solomon, what are we to do? What are we to think? And Solomon says, bring me a sword. Divide the living child. Give half to this one and half to that. And you know the story. The real mother said, no. Don't kill the child. Just give her, let her have the child. And Solomon said, give this child to this woman. That's the mother. And God, he asked for wisdom, and God endowed him with wisdom. But not only that, just to show you the expanse of God. Because sometimes when we go to God, we go to God, oh God, could you please, let me tell you, God, open up our understanding. Because he's so willing to give. He is so willing. Look, heaven is not bankrupt. Heaven, all the earth is his. The silver and the gold and the cattle on a thousand hills, it all is his. And he gives it to whomever he will. And so we don't come scrounging and, oh, cowardly. Oh, God, could I just get a crumb? He said to Solomon, because you have asked wisdom for yourself and not the life of your enemies, and not to have victory over them, he says, I'm going to give you all that you didn't ask for. Hello? What if God came to you and said, I'm going to give you all that you didn't ask for? Didn't mean that it wasn't there. He just said you didn't ask for it. He says, so I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to make you great. And I'm going to make you wealthy such that there will be no king like you. No king after you. And so God met with him in a dream and told him that. And I'm reading this. And Solomon goes and he makes this. He builds the temple of the Lord. He does everything the Lord told him to do. And when you read the description of the temple, it is the most magnificent building in my... I've never seen a building like this. I've never seen anything comparable to today like the temple of the Lord. Gold, wall to wall, floor to ceiling, everything was gold. Everything. And so Solomon builds this but I just want to, let me make this quick. And he prays the prayer of dedication. He does all this thing. And God has blessed Solomon. I mean, he blessed him. The Queen of Sheba comes to see him. And she says, listen, after seeing your whole setup here, she says, I heard people told me about you. But she says, now after having seen it, the half wasn't told me. She said, they didn't even tell me half of what's here. Because this is too. She said there was no spirit left within her. There was no words left within her after she met with Solomon. And so what I'm trying to do is build this picture that was built for me in 1 Kings. Because Solomon built all of this. Not only that, when he got done with his house, the scripture says it took him 7 years to build the house of the Lord. 7 years. And then he went on to build his house. And it took him 13 years to build his house. And so when I read that, I just made a little note. 7 years to build the house of the Lord. 13 years to build my house. A little unequal, but I'm going to leave it alone. We'll just go on. And he didn't only build his house. He built a number of houses. Anyhow, and I'm looking at all that God did for Solomon. Because, see, there's a lesson in here for me. Before there's a lesson for you, there's a lesson in here for me. And to every leader and to every king and priest. That's all of us. That's all of us, right? Kings and priests. Solomon, they were bringing him apes and peacocks and wild animals and lions and tigers and bears. Lions and tigers and bears. They were bringing him everything. He had so much wealth. And but toward the end of all of this, the scripture says he began to multiply silver in Jerusalem. He began to multiply horses. And then the last thing in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says this. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. He had married the daughter of Pharaoh. He loved many foreign women, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites. Verse 2. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. In love. And the lesson in there, among many, is that be careful what you love. Be careful what you love, because what you love can pull your heart away from God. And that's what happened to Solomon. After all that God did for him, after all, not only, he didn't appear to him one time, he appeared to him twice. And each time God said to him, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to do all of this. Then he said this, if you are faithful to follow my commandments as your father David did. You say, David, he committed murder, adultery. What do you mean? David didn't do something that almost all the other kings of Judah and Israel did. You know what it is? That's it. David is the king who never worshiped a false god. Never. Never. Solomon built temples because his wives offered sacrifice to Milcom, to Molech, to all these other gods, Chemosh. They offered incense to all these other gods. And therefore, because Solomon loved them, he built temples for their gods. And they pulled his heart away from God. But David the king, yes, he committed adultery. Yes, he committed murder. But his heart never left the Lord. Such that when the Lord said, you're the man who's done this horrible thing, David immediately broke down, repented, and asked the Lord for forgiveness and got right with God. I'm not making excuses for his sin. I'm simply saying that he was a man whose heart followed after God in worship. And that was really what classified David as a man after God's own heart. Let me follow that up with a verse of scripture in 1 John. Because the scripture says Solomon clung to those women in love. It could be money, it could be power, it could be anything. Because he multiplied silver to himself, which God commanded him not to do. He multiplied wives to himself, and he multiplied horses, all of which God said not to do. Strike one, strike two, strike three, Solomon. And so God said, came to him and said, I'm going to judge you because of it, Solomon. All because of what he loved. all because of what he loved. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us. Aren't you glad? See, that was the old covenant, which I just read to you. This is the new. Love has been perfected. I said to you last week prophetically that God was perfecting or maturing our love for him. He's watching over your love and my love. Remember, I mentioned the church at Ephesus, whom God says you have left your first love. The first church, the first one in the order that God dealt with, he dealt with the one who left their first love. Who was their first love? He was. He says, I have something against you because you've left your first love. But what's God doing in you and I? He's perfecting our love for him. It's part of what all this is about. Just trying to wrap this up. Prophetically, I'm trying to wrap this up and put a nice bow on it and say, here it is. Love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. You know, we take that scripture, someone's scared of a roller coaster and we're not. We say, you shouldn't be scared of a roller coaster. You know, perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. We go on about, which is totally just like out of context. This is talking about judgment. Right? And he's saying that when we stand before a holy and a righteous God, because his love has been perfected in us, there will be no fear. Because perfected or mature or complete love of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I'm praying that you would know the love of God which passes knowledge. Know the love of Christ, the length, the height, the breadth, and the width, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Knowing that love, he said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And so when you walk in to be with your husband, you're not afraid of anything, are you? When you walk in to dine with your father and your mother, you're not afraid, are you? No. Why? Well, because they love me. I know that. They love me. We have, our relationship is sound. But when you go before the judge and you're guilty, you can't stop from shaking. See? Why? Because it's altogether different. And he's perfecting my love. He's perfecting your love. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. How is God perfecting your love? By loving you. By loving you. How do you realize that perfect love? Every time you fall, you get up sometimes, and if you've grown in it, you get up and you don't even go through your natural, you know, I sinned again, oh God, forgive me. You just get up. Get up. Who am I? I'm your father. I love you. Sent my son to die for you. It washed in the blood of Jesus. Stand up before me. Walk with me. Let's go. You walk with him. How is he perfecting our love? By continuing to love us and love us and love us. And one day we're going to fully know, as we are known, the love of God. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. Thank you, O God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the river of life that flows, and that wherever it goes, trees spring up on the bank of the river. The trees are for the fruit are for the healing of the nations, your word declares. We thank you for the all-powerful, omniscient one, living within us, you through the power of your person of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've chosen us and have desired, Lord, to dwell within us. Father, we pray, Lord, this day that you would have your way in our lives, in our souls, in our spirits, in our futures, in our destinies. Oh God, that what you have determined and what you have decreed, Lord, what you have determined, Lord, it would be, Father, we would walk into your purposes and into that which you have arranged, into that which you've predestined, Lord, that we in doing so might bring glory to your name, that we in doing so might shine a light on your grace and on your goodness toward others. And so may we be the light. May we be the salt. Lord, may we be living epistles known and read of all men. Lord, as we walk before you, Father, as we dwell and remain in your love, as we abide in your word, Father, so let your Son, Jesus Christ, be declared and be seen through our lives, we pray. And it's in his wonderful and matchless name we ask it. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.